You're listening to the Cat Breeder Sensei Says podcast. This is your show host, April Catito, and it's that time again. We're going to talk about some things that have to do with breeding pedigree cats. In today's episode, we're going to talk about the top 10 things that you should know about breeding pedigree cats. And this is really probably designed for new breeders in general, because there's just some things you should know that we all want you to expect to happen and don't want you to get disappointed about if one of these things happens to you. So we'll get right into those top 10 things after this short message.
Do you want to learn how to become a successful breeder of pedigree cats? Now you can. For the first time ever, enroll in an online training course that takes you step by step through everything you need to know to get on the right track. Visit catbreedersensei.com to sign up today and use code PODCAST21 to get $25 off.
Okay, the top 10 things that you should know about breeding pedigree cats. And remember, these are not going to be in any particular order. Number one, the financial aspect of things. So if you're on week-to-week paycheck, let's say, and you want to get into breeding pedigree cats, it's probably not a good idea to do that right now. You want to wait until you have a good amount of money in your savings account and a pad, a buffer, if you will, to take care of things that come up. First of all, you know, buying the cats is expensive. It is not cheap to buy a kitten that is going to be used for breeding. It's going to run you anywhere from, let's say, $4,000. I'm seeing them now all the way up to $10,000, and that's just for one, and it takes two to tango. And I have another podcast about, you know, how many cats that you need, and, you know, typically your male cat is going to want and be happier with more than one female. So it's kind of hard to run a breeding program with just one male and one female. And I know a lot of people, you know, kind of start out that way and think that, but once you hear the other nine of these top 10 things you should know, you'll kind of get an understanding of why just having two cats is not going to work out. You know, ideally, if you really are going to pursue a breeding program and try to constantly be improving the breed. So on top of buying cats, you know, there's a lot of things that go along with it, like health testing, health screenings, high quality food, supplements, litter, emergency vets in case something goes wrong, and just having, you know, the money to be able to care for these cats. And it takes about, you know, a year at least after you buy a kitten before they're able to produce any kittens for you, and then another 3 months, let's say, before you ever get paid for them. So you just need to have money, you know. That's really all there is to it, is you need money. Number two is the time commitment. So when you first start thinking about breeding pedigree cats, you know, everybody always kind of thinks about the kittens and how fun it'll be. And, you know, you get to play with kittens all day, you know, that type of thing. But while that is true, you do have kittens all the time and you do get to play with your kittens. It's the time commitment and really the restrictions of your free time is what I'm talking about here. Like not being able to do things that you would normally be able to do if you didn't have kittens, or if you didn't have the adult cats too, because if you have several cats, which is typically what a breeding program has, then you need to feed them, you need to litter them, you need to clean, you need to clean, you need to clean, you need to clean, you need to check on everybody. And that means you need to be at home, or you need to be home every single day. So, you know, week-long vacations, 10-day vacations, they're kind of out of the picture unless you really have someone that you can count on to come take care of your cats in the same quality and level that you would do and provide, you know, excellent care for your cats. And now kittens, whole different story. They really require all day care. You need to weigh them a couple of times a day in the beginning and just constantly monitor their health and their well-being and make sure that they're, you know, developing and gaining weight and they're a healthy status and that nothing is wrong with them. And that's really for the whole 12 weeks. I can't even think about like leaving a litter of kittens for a week. Like there's no way I would do that. I've gone on weekend trips and had my daughter come in and, you know, take care of the kittens for me. And that's usually when the kittens are a little bit older, let's say 8 or 9 weeks, and they're all, you know, using the litter box and eating solid food. And it's easy to come in a couple of times a day and check on them at that point. When a pregnant mom is expecting kittens around her due date, that's another time where I don't make a lot of plans of like going out and doing things where I'm going to be gone, because I call it baby watch. So I have to be there and I have to check on my queen and I have to see, are you in labor? Is everything okay? Do you look distressed? Is it time for her to go? I do like to attend all the deliveries in case something goes wrong. Like there's all kinds of things that, you know, can go wrong during a labor and delivery, especially if it's a first time mom. So I want to be there and I want to make sure that everything's going and looking like it should. So I just don't plan a lot of things around the due date. And sometimes the due date's, you know, on day 65, she could go day 68 or 69. So for those 4 days or 5 days, you're just kind of hanging around waiting to see what happens with her. Number three, emotional roller coaster. Oh, it's you're up and then you're down and then you're up and then you're down. And when it rains, it pours. When it comes to these cats, like if things are going wrong, everything's going wrong. And if you have one sicky kitten, you have all litter of sicky kittens. So it's really just an emotional roller coaster all the time. Like things will feel like they're nice and calm and then the shit storm will hit and you're caught back in this low of being a breeder. And you're thinking, oh, I'm going to throw the towel in. You know, you always think that. And I always tell fellow breeders and my peers, I'm like, don't make any decisions while you're in this emotional phase. I'm like, let it pass and then think about what you're going to do. I know I had a kitten once. She was about 9 weeks old. And she was throwing up and had diarrhea, I don't know, 3 or 4 times a day. I was at the vet all the time, and we couldn't figure out what was wrong with her. We were doing sonograms and x-rays and medicine, and I still don't know what was wrong with her. We finally resolved it with some Tylosin, but I just remember walking into the nursery one morning, and after she had been doing this for about 3 days, and there was vomit everywhere, and I just, you know, I fell to my knees. I was crying. It was a lot to bear. Like I couldn't figure out what was wrong with this kitten. So it's things like that. They'll get you. They get in your head, and they're not easy to just go on about your normal day. It just consumes you, and you have to figure out, what is wrong with the cat? How do I fix it? What's causing it? Does anybody else have it? You know, it's always this. And then once things get resolved, you know, you feel better. But then you never know when something else is going to come up. Number four, not all cats are suitable for breeding. I'm going into my 7th year of breeding pedigree cats, and I have retired 21 cats that I have acquired for breeding, and for one reason or the other, they're not here anymore. I've retired or spayed or neutered them, and they've gone to a new home. Some of them, you know, I've said, okay, you've done enough for me in my breeding program. You can retire now. And some are have health issues or temperament problem or whatever reason. You know, there's so many different reasons that you retire your breeding cats. You know, some never had kittens, they just weren't able to produce. But 21 adults in 7 years that I have retired. That's why we kind of go back to number one, where to keep your program going, those two cats that you get in the beginning, they're probably not going to be your forever cats for your breeding program. In fact, I would probably guarantee that you're going to need different cats. Number five, you don't know if you're producing healthy cats for years. When people, this is a pet peeve of mine, so if you do it, I'm not targeting you directly, but it's anybody that has a litter of kittens and they're born and they're brand new and they're wet still and fresh out of the womb, and the breeders say, I just had a litter of seven healthy kittens. There's no way for you to tell that. In fact, the first 14 days is the most critical time. That's when you're going to get the most amount of loss, is when they're in this critical neonatal stage and they have no immune systems. And, you know, they're just very vulnerable to all kinds of things, and fainting kitten syndrome and E. coli and bacteria. And you don't know if they're healthy yet. And once they get past that, you know, good, they have a 90% chance of survival if they make it past the first 14 days. But then you still don't know if it's a healthy cat for a few years. Like, this is just an opinion of mine. They need to mature. They need to get older. And if there's a problem in there somewhere, it takes a while to see it. You just don't see it when they're kittens in the first year. You know, it takes longer than that. So you don't know what you're really producing for a few years. And so you really have to have a good system for keeping track of your kittens and what happens to them once they go home. Number six, you got to make lots of hard decisions. It's one of the things that I've done in my life that I've never had to make so many hard decisions before. You meet these cats and you become attached to them and you have great relationship with them, and then something happens and you have to make a decision on whether they stay or whether they go. Space is very limited, and it's so valuable to have space, and every cat that takes up space takes away from your breeding program. So you have to make decisions to retire cats and say goodbye to them, and I'm talking about the adults. You also have to decide if a health issue comes up, you know, is this health issue one that I need to spay or neuter this cat for? It's all decisions that nobody can help you with. You have to make them on your own. And it's hard, you know, it's hard sometimes. And you want to make the right decision. You're constantly making decisions like this. Number seven, breeding pedigree cats to me is a journey. It's not a destination. I'll never get to a point where I feel like, okay, this is it. I've got the look I want. I have 100% healthy cats, because I don't think that's ever going to happen. And, you know, the temperaments are perfect. I've made it. I've succeeded. No, it's a journey. You're always working to improve on everything. That's why keeping track of your kitten health in your kittens and really knowing what the breed standard is and keeping in contact with your owners so that you can get updates on your kittens and know where everybody's at every stage of their life, well into adulthood as well. So it's not a destination. It's really not any thing that you can ever get to, like, accomplish. I just think you're constantly working to improve. So it's definitely a journey. Which, number eight, you'll never stop learning. There's always something new to be learning. And I've talked to people who've been breeding for 20, 25, 30 years, and they're still learning things about cats and still learning things about breeding and still learning things about health issues and new things that pop up they've never seen before. You never stop learning. So when you have that mentality to always be learning, always be improving your knowledge base, then you're going to do very well. If you think that you know it all and you can start talking down to people because they're brand new and they don't know as much as you, your journey is short-lived, because you'll never stop learning, and you should never stop learning when you are doing anything, in fact, but especially when you're working with animals and breeding pedigree cats. Just always, always focus and strive to be learning as much as you can, even when you think you know as much as you think you can know. There's always more to learn. Number 9, you will, and I emphasize will, deal with health problems, diseases, viruses, diarrhea, and death. You will deal with it. You may get lucky and not deal with it at first, but you will absolutely deal with all of these things. If you are a pedigree cat breeder and you are involved for any amount of time, you are going to deal with every single one of these things that I just mentioned. Health problems, disease, viruses, diarrhea, death, and more. You're just going to deal with it. Number 10, there's two sides to the business. There's producing kittens, and then there's marketing and selling your kittens in a very highly competitive space. So you have to learn two different things here in order to keep everything moving forward, because you don't want to get quote unquote stuck with kittens, you know, and you have too many cats in your house, and that can be overwhelming. So take the time to learn two sides of this. Learn how to be an excellent breeder and make ethical decisions and good choices, and always be learning and constantly improving yourself and working towards bettering the breed that you're working with. And then learn how to market yourself and portray a positive image and deal with people and be proactive instead of reactive, and just be overall, you know, a good person on both sides. Marketing and selling is something that a lot of the breeders that I talk to don't ever consider. They don't think about like having to learn that part of it because it doesn't come naturally. So we do have the course, the Cat Breeder Blueprint, on our website. You probably heard the commercial for it in the beginning. Just go to catbreedersensei.com and look in the product section for Cat Breeder Blueprint. Take the course. It's everything you need to know about marketing and generating leads and, you know, handling people and everything about the business side. It's an awesome, awesome course that you'll get a lot of benefit from. And we also have the complete guide to breeding pedigree cats, which is how to breed cats. So, you know, we have courses for both sides of this journey that you are on. So that's it. That's my top 10 list of things you should know about breeding pedigree cats. Thank you for listening. Make sure you're in our Facebook group, the No Judgment Zone Pedigree Cat Breeder Community, where you can ask any question that you want without the fear of being judged or attacked. We have a very welcoming and positive community that is supportive of each other, regardless of your level. So be sure to do that and reach out to us anytime if you have questions. Thanks again for listening to this podcast. We'll see you next time. And you make good choices out there.